Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14, and let's read verses 32 to 35, and then we can be seated. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And Lord, we know, Lord, that we are living in end times. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that you would build up our faith. Lord, that we would not walk in fear, but walk in faith. Knowing, Lord, that you are the soon and very soon coming King. And so, God, we just want to give you praise, glory, and honor, for it all belongs to you. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, End of the Age. End of the Age. And so one of the things that Jesus spoke to his disciples is that you know when it's sunny, you know when it's rainy, you know when it's cloudy. And they understood those natural signs. But what they failed to see were the signs that God said would take place during the end of the age. And we're seeing more and more now the signs that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24, in the book of Revelation, and even the prophets of old. We're seeing them now, face to face. It's like putting the Bible in the newspaper and it's all coming together. So I truly believe God is preparing the church for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So are we there at Proverbs? Okay, here we go. Proverbs 32. Let's all read together. The wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous has a refuge in his death. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding, but what is in the heart of fools is made known. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. Saints, Jesus is about to return. Can I get an amen? Amen. And the church at large seems to be oblivious to the fact. In the church today, Bible prophecy is neglected, abused, or even scorned at. Some people says, well, no, don't bring that here. You know, we don't want to offend no one, and we don't want to scare no one. No, it's not about scaring folks. It's about building their faith for the soon return of our Messiah. Can I get amen? But most pastors simply ignore it as irrelevant or too controversial. Many abuse it by spiritualizing it to mean anything they please. Some just write it off as nonsensical and gooblygook. It's just mumble jumble. Why? Listen, pastors, if you're listening, if you don't understand the end times, bring a scholar and teach your people. Can I get amen? Amen. That's all you do. Bring an evangelist in, or bring someone that is very schooled in the end times. I remember when we had to take a trip to, I believe it was Tennessee. So we brought in evangelist Donald Perkins. He brought a wonderful message. Can I get amen? How many know who Donald Perkins is? Brother teaches the end times. And it's all laid out for your understanding. But a lot of pastors, they won't talk about it. We're going to talk about it. And we're going to talk about the prophetic irony first. We have to look at this. Why? The irony is that all this is the fulfillment of end time Bible prophecy, pointing to the fact that we are truly living in the season of the Lord's return. Listen, I can't wait to see the Lord. How many can't wait to see him? I want to see the God who created me. And I want to fall at his feet and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Oh, yes, he's soon to come, and I can't wait. But see, the Bible spoke about this 2,000 years ago. For 2,000 years, God's been pouring out his spirit. And many people are coming into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today because you're saved, God has been very patient. He didn't allow you to perish, did he? He goes, I know that I have a people during these last days and times that I'm still going to save. Amen? And we're here because of God's grace. We're here because he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. But there are people, unregenerated, and also those who could be regenerated. What do I mean by that? People that are honestly saved, but no one's teaching them what the signs of the times are. And so they're oblivious to it. I said it last week that the church right now, the state of the church across the land, that's why we see so much abominations in our land, is because they're asleep. They're not up. They're not awake. They don't know what the times is. And we're going to look at these point of views this morning. This is going to be an education. This is going to be enlightening. You're going to see the point of views that a lot of churches have, and many of them will use these point of views just so that they can stay asleep. But what does Peter say? How many would rather believe the Word of God? Come on, the Word of God is true, amen? So let's look right up here. 2 Peter 3 and 3 and 4 says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. Scoffers will come. Yeah, right. Yeah, you guys been saying he's coming. Sure, right. You ever heard that before? Yeah, right. Walking according to their own lusts. That's because they want to stay in sin. They don't want to know that Jesus is coming. Look at this. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. When they say the fathers that fell asleep, this is the prophets, the disciples who have now gone on to be with the Lord. Their bodies are in the ground, but their souls with God. Meaning, that's when you see the word asleep. That means they're physically dead now, but their soul is alive and well. How many believe? As believers, the moment we shut our eyes, we open them again, and we're in the presence of the Lord. Oh, that's right. That's right. But this is what we see, saints. And many think that this prophecy referred to unbelievers. No, but they could care less about the return of Jesus. We know unbelievers, you tell them about the gospel, man, and they'll look at you cross-eyed. Yeah, right. They will. But to them, the whole concept is an absurd myth. So, yeah. You know, all we could do is plant and water, right? Only God could give the increase. Listen to this, saints. It is the Christian leaders who are mocking and scoffing. You know why? Because the unbeliever won't read the word. They have no mind for God's word. To them, it's just ink on pages. But for believers, we open up the word. I'm hoping wherever you belong to, you open up the word. Can I get amen? It is Christian leaders who are mocking and scoffing. Some are liberals who are Christians in the name only. To them, the idea of Jesus returning to reign over the world for 1,000 years is but a joke. Yeah, right. Jesus is going to come and he's going to rule the world for 1,000 years. That's what my Bible says. And I have proof in the pudding. It's God's word, right? And so they consider it to be as ridiculous as the virgin birth. Did you know there's a survey done and that many Christians who claim to be Christians don't believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? They don't. They don't believe it in the miracle that took place, that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. A lot of them don't even believe that. That's right, they don't. Others are true believers who either know nothing about Bible prophecy or else have some perverted concept of it. Increasingly, they are espousing the unbiblical concept of post-millenniumism. Say that three times and see if you could say that. That's a tongue twister, huh? So now, let's look at this. Let's look at the post-millennium viewpoint. We're going to look at some viewpoints to let you know the condition of the church across the land, okay? And then we're going to share a biblical concept that I truly believe that the majority of those who love God's word are in that viewpoint. And so, saints, this is the idea, this position is the idea that the church will take over the world either through political action or evangelism or a combination of the two, and that the church will then rule over the earth for 1,000 years. In other words, things are just going to get better. How many believe that's a lie? Listen, we don't live and leave it to Beaver days no more. I hope you know that. When's the last time you saw Father Knows Best? Now it's Harry and Scary on your TV network. Abominations. The dark is getting more gross darkly. Can I get amen? It's being perverted now. Everything that God created holy, let me just say this. Satan is the mastermind. He wants to pervert everything that God created holy. And if God created a union between a man and a woman, then we need to believe God. That is the pattern. Can I get an amen? Amen. But here comes old Slewfoot. He comes in and he tries to pervert it and change it, and he's deceiving a young generation. So here was the strategy. Let's get God out of the school system, and let's bring in the abominations to a young generation who are naive, who've never known anything about God. You go to a public school, they don't know who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is. They don't know who the prophets are. They don't know who the disciples are. And Jesus is just a myth. But you tell them about Pokemon and all these other things, oh man, they're all over it. Why? Because that is the strategy of the enemy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's why Jesus says, I come to give life and life more abundantly. Can I get amen, saints? And so, this viewpoint up here, this is the idea that the church will take over the world either through political action, evangelism, or a combination of the two, and the church will rule over the earth for 1,000 years. And then at the end of this reign, the church will surrender the kingdom to Jesus, who will transport the church to heaven and burn up the earth. Okay, so in other words, their viewpoint is going to get better. I'm sorry to say that right now we're living in some gross days. Can I get amen? It's dark, and it's darker than we think. Listen, the remedial judgments are already here on this land. I hope you know that. The extreme fires, the floods. Did you watch the floods? Oh my gosh, now we're having earthquakes, tornadoes rip through our land. We have hurricanes rip. God is saying, hey, wake up. Turn back to me. And if we look at it as a pattern in the Old Testament, this is what God would do before he would bring the final judgment. And you know what the final judgment is? Bringing enemies to the shores of those countries to destroy it. Man, God forbid that ever happen. And so this viewpoint, few concepts could be more unbiblical regarding this concept. Can I get amen? Amen. The Bible makes it clear that the vast majority of humanity will always reject the gospel. Listen, before you came into the saving knowledge of the Lord, come on, let's all be transparent here. We didn't want nothing to do with God. Can I get amen? I used to call them all, man, you got a bunch of Bible thumpers. You know, I used to make fun of them in school. I did, because they hung out together only, you know, and they dressed differently. At Granger Junior High, I went to Sweetwater. They hung out, you know, those are a little minority of them. I used to mock them. I used to make fun of them. Well, why did I do that? Because I was walking in ignorance. I didn't know God's word. And that's the condition has gotten even worse. But if this post-millennium viewpoint says that things are going to get better, that means what Jesus said in his word is null and void. Let's look what Jesus talks about this point of view. In Matthew 7:13, he says, "Enter by the gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Okay, so if everyone is going to eventually get saved, that refutes what Jesus said. Jesus said it's going to be a narrow gate. And these are just the ones that God is calling in these last days. For some of you, he just woke you up from your sleep maybe not too long ago. By the grace of God, he woke me up when I was 30. I'm going to be 60 this December. So 30 years he has kept me by his grace. Have I lived the perfect life? No. Have I made mistakes? Yes. We're all going to make mistakes as a Christian. Can I get amen? Until we are changed and we are like him, that's when we will be perfect. But we strive for perfection. The Bible says, "Lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets you and press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus." How many believe you've been called? Yes. Oh, that's right. We've been called. So that refutes this scripture right here. Jesus is narrow is the gate and few find it. That's right. So there's churches across the land. They're filled. But you know what? Some of them don't even have scripture. And they're just there to have a social event. And they'll jump up and down and do all that and come home still lost. Jesus says, it's narrow. Narrow. And if you think that's kind of rough, then you got to take it up to Jesus. Saints, the Bible makes it equally clear that as we approach the end of the church age, society will grow increasingly evil rather than increasingly righteous. Look, when Jesus spoke to his disciples, he told them clearly. Look what he said up here. "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you." Look at how many Middle Eastern Christians are being beheaded as we speak. Oh, who's coming to their aid? ISIS just destroying their cities. And a lot of those cities were beautiful. They were relics of the Christian path. And they're going in and they're murdering even children, ripping them apart. He says, "And they will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Listen, many of us has friends and family that we truly love, but when we start sharing Jesus, I don't want to hear that. Or if you start getting out of your car and you've pulled up to their door, "Turn the blinds off, muzzle the dog, we're not here." Why? Because they know what you're about. They know that you bring light in the midst of darkness. Can I get amen? So look at this. "And then many will be offended, will betray one another and hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." What are they growing cold in? Their belief in God. That God is their creator. That God expects us to live now a certain way. And that way is just a walk of faith, a walk to honor him. A walk to praise him and glorify him. It's not about the do's and don'ts. Let me just get that clear. You can put do's and don'ts all over the church. And as soon as you miss one of those do's, guess what? You missed them all. No, you know what Jesus is looking for? He's looking for a love relationship. When you fall in love with the Savior, guess what? Now you'll learn to do the things he loves because you love him. It's not by a whip or a cord. Can I get an amen? Now, look at this. "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood," this is before God destroyed the world in the flood, "they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Now catch that for a moment. In the days of Noah, it was very viciously wicked and vile, and it was perverse. Fallen angels had come. They were interacting with humans. It was ugly. God said, you know what? I got to destroy this. It is wicked. It is evil. It is violent. It is perverse. And so he had to do something new again. So he flooded the earth, and only 8 were saved. That lets me know that Jesus was right. There was a narrow gate. The whole world had an opportunity to get it right. But they all said, yeah, and they laughed and they mocked Noah. And for 100 years, he was building the ark. Get into this ark because God's going to flood it. And they mocked him and they ridiculed him. Today, they mock and laugh you about the return of Jesus Christ. No differently. But look what it says here. It was going to be like the days of Noah, Jesus said. So the signs that we see, the mocking, the abominations across our land, God said these would happen before he comes back. So how many would rather believe God's word than someone's viewpoint? No, I'd rather believe God, because he said right here, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. My goodness. Saints, furthermore, this post-millennium is based upon the humanist assumption of inevitable progress, which in turn is based upon belief in the essential goodness of humankind. Well, you know, we're just going to get better at heart. We're going to just show more humanity and more loving and passion. You know, that's great, and we do have some great organizations. Like Red Cross is there, and there's a lot of them. One of the best that I love is Franklin Graham's ministry. They go out there when disaster. Why? Because they're called by God. They're truly there for the compassion of man. But I'm talking about in general. I'm talking about the vast majority of those people around the world. How? This is impossible that it's going to get better. Why won't it get better? Because Jeremiah the prophet, he shouted it from the mountaintop. And this is our true condition. You know, a lot of us don't like to look in the mirror. But when you look in the mirror, that's it. That's who you are. God made you just like that. And you got to be thankful that he made you. Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and love yourself like your neighbor. Can I get amen? But here's what I'm trying to get to on this point of view. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. What we see in our society is this at work. A heart that's deceitful, deceiving your children, deceiving churches, deceiving the public arena, taking the Ten Commandments out of the court, replacing it with humanism, with New Age. I just saw that they made a big giant statue in Arkansas, and it's a picture of a demon. They're worshiping Satan now in many of these states, and we wonder why God is going to judge us. How many believe we need to wake up as a nation? We need to wake up, saints. We really do. See, people cannot elevate themselves by their own effort. I hope you know that. Nor can they be perfected by education or the revolution of society. God will prove this during the upcoming millennium reign of Jesus. During that time, all the world would be flooded with peace. Praise God. Only the Prince of Peace can come and rule and reign with his rod. Can I get an amen? God's going to drive, when Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom here on earth, let me tell you, everything's going to be flip-flop. It's going to change. Amen. And we're going to come to Jerusalem and worship the King. For those of us that went in April, that was just a foretaste. That was just a little scratch on the surface. But Jesus is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. Thank you, God. And righteousness and justice will rule. But yet at the very end of that 1,000 years, guess who's going to be released again? Old Slewfoot. And he's going to come one more time, and he's going to deceive the nations. So what does that mean? That means when Jesus comes, we that are born again, we're going to have the new body like his. This is why we're going to rule and reign with him. But there's still going to be humans on the earth. They're still going to be in this condition. Because they're going to be in their human body. That's what the Bible teaches. So we are blessed to be part of the first resurrection. And what is that? That when Jesus comes, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up to be with the Lord. So Christ is going to rule and reign. And guess what? We're going to rule and reign with him. So he's going to point us around the world. And it's going to be peace for 1,000 years. I know that's hard to fathom. You forgot what you did yesterday, let alone 1,000 years. But that's what the Bible teaches. And yet, old Slewfoot, Satan is going to be let loose. But Jesus is going to finally, after 1,000 years, put him in the lake of fire and finally destroy him. You know what the world's going to say to themselves when they see who Satan is? He's like, that guy? He was deceiving everyone? He's going to be like a little tiny angel. And his roar is bigger than his bite. I hope you know that. He's the little boogeyman in the window. And yet he's so deceptive. And so we need to look at these scriptures that I'm going to pull up. Because how many believe God's word is true? Amen. Let's look at this. In Psalms 2 and 8, ask of me and I will give you what? The nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a what? Rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. So when Jesus comes, he's going to shatter everything and make things all new for you and I. And so that this world can live in finally peace for about 1,000 years. Man, God's word is so true. And that's the position we take. Now look at this. In Revelation, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nation. This is why, if you look at our church, we're like a little training ground. We're training up. We're training in the word of God. We're learning to grow in the grace and knowledge of the word of God. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Amen. And so if you're not ashamed of God, then this is what he says. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. We're going to rule and reign with Christ. Amen. This is what's ahead of us. And he's just saying, hold on. Yeah, I know some of you are going through turbulent times right now. Marriages are falling apart. Relationships with children are falling apart. Addictions in your family. We see all that. But God is telling the church right now, hold on. Just hold on. Don't give up. Keep pressing. Keep trusting. Keep loving the Lord. And we will be overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Look at this. He shall rule with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. Didn't we just read that in Psalms? See, the word of God confirms. You can't take one verse out of contents. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. Amen? You're going to learn your Bible if you come here. That's all I'm going to say. But if you just want to go and get a fairy tale, well, you know, there's a whole bunch of other places. Just go and just float around. And life is wonderful. Look at this. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give them the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's why I pray every morning. He that has an ear, what? Let them hear. See, your natural ear won't understand God. It's your spiritual ear that God wants to speak to. Because once it gets into your spirit, he makes you come alive. And then the revelation comes. And now you're saying, man, I didn't see this. Well, it was always there. You just couldn't see it in the natural eye. But in your spiritual ear, God will make it come alive unto thee. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Saints, mankind will not be transformed by life in a paradise on earth all by himself. I'm sorry. Why do you think they're going to, it's called AI, artificial intelligence. You know, now that you're putting on the goggles and you're going into another world where it's all perfect. See, Satan's always trying to manipulate mankind and think that I'll show you a brand new utopia. No, that's a lie from the pit. Because in that we'll come in with perverseness. Did you know the capital, the pornographic capital, is in California, Simi Valley? And don't buy your children any of those 3D or 4D goggles, because you can tap in through Wi-Fi and get to those ungodly sites and pervert your children. And then they're going to think that is real. You think a magazine or images on a screen, that will become even more an abomination. Why do you think God's lighting the place on fire, man? He's gonna light it up. Why? Because mankind cannot get it right with him. It's about getting right with God. Can I get an amen? How many love this country? This is why we gotta vote people in. Listen, the pulpits are silenced across the nation. So now God's opened up the political world. So we need to raise up men and women that love God and that will stand now. Can I get an amen? They're all worried about losing their 501c3 and this and that. So what? Haul me away. I have to preach to the prisoners. Can I get amen? Amen. I don't mind having a prison ministry if that's where God will lead me. And then we'll come out as an army of Christ. Amen. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. God is so good. Can I get amen?
Amen.
He's worthy to be praised. So, come on, let's give him a hand clap in glory. And so we all know that mankind will not be transformed by life in a paradise on their own. And that's because people can only be truly transformed by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that comes through faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Can I get amen? Because the Word of God speaks right here. Look at this. Now the Lord is what? The Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Liberty.
But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror in the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. So as you come to church, as you come to Bible study, as you fellowship with the saints, God is taking you from glory to glory. Your faith is being built up. Can I get amen?
Amen.
God wants you to acquire as much wisdom and knowledge from the Word of God so that you can understand and discern the times that we live in. And we live in dark times. I can't reiterate that anymore. We live in some really dark times. I shared last week, I brought the evidence. And one of the biggest abominations is when there's 60 million aborted since Roe v. Wade. Did you know every ounce of blood is crying out from the ground? Yes, it is. You can feel the whole, all their blood in one of the Great Lakes in Michigan. And it's crying out. You think God hasn't heard their cry? Oh, yes. But God's being patient. He's being long-suffering. Aren't you so blessed that he didn't squash you when you sinned? Like a cucaracho? I'm done with you. Oh, let me scrape it off my foot. Aren't you so blessed that he had mercy on you? Come on, he had mercy. He had mercy. And now we've entered in by his grace. And now we can see clearly what God is doing in our hearts. Amen. So now we looked at the what's called the what post-millennial view. Now, here's what's really creeping into the church. The all-millennial view. The all-millennial viewpoint. So we got to look at the condition of the church so that there's a barometer that needs to be set. Can I get an amen? Saints, the end time viewpoint that is held by the Catholic Church and the majority of Christian denominations is amillennialism. It is the strange concept that the millennial reign of Jesus began at the cross. So they believe that the millennial reign, when Christ died on the cross, it started there. It can't be. It can't be. I got scripture to back that up. And like post-millennium view, this view is based on spiritualization of scripture, which is a nice way of saying that it is based on an outright denial of what the scriptures plainly state. Logic alone is sufficient to destroy the all-millennium viewpoint. The Bible teaches that during the millennium, the earth will be flooded with peace, righteousness, and justice. Okay, so if it started at the cross, why are we still living in wickedness? Have you asked yourself that? Why is it so gross to watch things on television? Why is the abortion rate so high? Why is every state marrying the same-sex marriage? If we're supposed to be living during peace. Come on, does that coincide? No, it don't mix, does it? So you can just put that point of view and kick it out. Because we don't live in peace times. There's war 24/7 in the Middle East. There's people getting blown up all the time. You got Israel and Gaza blowing up each other. You got the Middle East. You got ISIS roaming around. What are we doing in Afghanistan? There's still a war there. How long has that? It's gone on for 17 years. And we're sending our young men to be butchered. It's like the nations are thirsty for blood and for killing. No one wants to talk about this. No one wants to talk about this. Why? Oh, we don't talk about that. Oh, Pastor Fee, not in this church. Well, someone needs to wake up and smell the coffee. Can I get an amen? So this viewpoint is nonsense. Nonsense. Logic alone is sufficient to destroy this viewpoint. The Bible teaches that during the millennium reign, the earth will be flooded with peace, righteousness, and justice. So I need you to understand that. Can I get an amen? Look what the prophet Isaiah says. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. So when Jesus comes, he's going to do all that. He hasn't done it yet. Mankind is still living in corruptness. So this alone lets us know, oh, wait a minute. Jesus is still coming to set up his rod. Can I get amen? Look what verse 5 says. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Right now, try to put a lamb by a wolf. Man, that's lunch. Whoa, 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 whoa. Gone. Look at the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. Think about that right now. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the child shall lead them. The child shall lead the leopard? Yeah, from the other side of the fence at the zoo. Yeah, come on, follow me. Look at this. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play in the cobra's hole. Man, that's one thing that I will not do, is when I see a hole in the ground, I like just step right over and I'm gone. I do not like snakes and spiders, I'm sorry. But put your hole or your hand in a rattler snake's hole and see if you come out whole or bitten. Can we do that right now? No. But when Jesus comes, we'll be able to do this. Why? Because he's going to change all things. He's going to change all things. And look at this. And the winged child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt them nor destroy in my holy mountain. The earth shall be full of knowledge and the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Oh, man, I can't wait for that day. How many can't wait for that day? Well, hold on. Hold on. Our change is coming. Hold on. God is just saying, be faithful to him. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Can I get amen? Lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways, and he shall direct your path. Now, let's look what Micah says. I love that name, Micah. It's a beautiful name. There's some people that they call their son, or they name him Micah. Amen? But listen to what Micah says. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days. So he's looking ahead. He's looking to the future. Can I get amen? That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. And you know what that top of the mountain is? Mount Moriah. We were so blessed to be there, huh? Come on, we stepped on Mount Moriah just this past April. Man, come on. We were there. We were there. It's a real geographical place. So when you go to Israel, the land of and the word of God opens up and it comes alive unto you, doesn't it? Listen to that. That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. Man, how many can't wait for that to happen? You know what? God is building up Zion right now. Look at this. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion, the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We were there in Jerusalem. Man, how many want to go back? Okay. There's going to be a sign-up sheet for 2019. Get ready. Hold on. Hold on. We want to double the amount that came with us. And we're not going to go with 600 people. We're just going to do our private tour, amen? So we can just take it all in. Go swimming in the Dead Sea. Go swimming. I want to go swimming in the Sea of Galilee. And I just have to block it out that there's big, giant fish about this long in there. Look at this. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion, the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. Meaning, he will, right where Jerusalem is, he will bring everything into order. I can't wait till that. Right now, we got a jelly bag UN right now. And guess what? They're all Muslims. And everything, they shoot down everything that Israel wants to do. They just shoot it down. Why? Because they're worshiping the wrong God. They don't believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They don't believe in the Lord God, Jesus Christ. They believe in a God that's dead, and if you go dig up his grave, his bones are still in the ground. Can I get amen? But Jesus is the only one that rose again. Our God is alive and well. Thank you, God. And look at this. He shall judge between many peoples, rebuke strong nations afar. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Is that what's taking place right now? No. It's war 24/7. Some of you are having war with your neighbor next door. Oh, not you, huh? Not you. Look at this. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree. And And no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord hosts has spoken. For all people walk each in the name of his God. but we will walk in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. What? Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed to be called a child of God? Yeah. Aren't you so blessed to be drawn out of darkness into His marvelous light? Yeah. Aren't you so blessed to be filled with His Spirit? Yeah. Aren't you so blessed to have a peace of mind now? When you go to bed, there's no more monkey on your back. Come on. How many of you that God has delivered from drugs and alcohol, from pornography? God has done a new thing in your life. And He's going to keep you by His power. He's going to keep you steadfast. And you're going to have an ongoing desire to love Him and to praise Him and to glorify Him. Can I get an amen? God's going to do it all by Himself. And He doesn't want to share that glory with anyone. That's why wonderful programs like the 12-step, I have nothing against those. But guess what? You don't need 12. All you need is one. One step toward Jesus. Can I get an amen? And He will pick you up and take you the rest of the way. He will cleanse you and wash you and give you a new heart. He'll give you a new mind. You will have a love for God and you will have a love for the lost. And you will love them and not hate them because they hate you. You'll turn that negativity towards you into a heart of compassion for them because they're lost. Lost people are lost. They don't see what you see. So we got to keep showing them truth. Speak to them the word, but you love them and say, man, but God has a better plan for you. Learn to win them. And back in the day, I used to just cut them up and leave them there to bleed and walk away. Now God has given me some grace and wisdom and knowledge. Can I get an amen? It's easy to, when you first get saved, God, it's like taking an M16, brrr, repent or perish, repent or perish. Man, you won't win nobody. Look at this. He says, I will gather the outcasts and those whom I have afflicted. I will make the lame a remnant and the outcasts a strong nation. So the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on and even for what? Forever. So we're not in that point of view we just mentioned. Can I get an amen? We're not at peace yet. The Prince of Peace is still on His way. And He's going to set up camp. So saints, can anyone truly argue with a straight face that such an atmosphere prevails today? The Bible says that during the millennium, Satan will be bound so he can no longer deceive the nations. Right now, the nations are being deceived. But the Word of God says when Jesus finally comes, He's going to bound them for 1,000 years. So guess what? We don't have to worry about looking out the window at night for the Llorona. Oh, you remember that one? Yeah. My grandmother used to tell me that one. Yeah. Man, I would never look out the window. Keep the light on. My brother remembers those days. Come on, man. There'll be no more fear like that. Can I get an amen? The light of the world's going to come and light up the nations. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes. Yes, He will. Look what it says in Revelation. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, which is Satan himself, the serpent of old, who was the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. That hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. How many of you for the first time is hearing this for the first time? Okay, so man, we got scholars in here. Amen. You know your word. And he cast them into the bottomless pit, and he shut them up and set a seal on him so that he should, what? Deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Because God's finality, that's going to be the final moment. But guess what? We're going to live in bliss for 1,000 years. Come on. The things that you know, like things that are now, are not going to be like it anymore. There's going to be harmony and joy. There's going to be faithfulness and purity of heart. There's going to be honesty. There's going to be integrity. You're going to truly love one another, and we will rule and reign with Christ. Hallelujah. Man, we can't even fathom that right now, can we? We think when we go to Disneyland, it's the happiest place on earth. Yeah. Go wait in one ride for 2 hours and ask me again if you're happy. Look at this. So is that a present? I ask this. Is that a present reality that we're at peace? No, it's not, huh? Of course not. All the nations of the world without exception are deceived and exist in a state of rebellion against God. The Bible says six times in the book of Revelation that the millennial reign will be 1,000 years. Look at Revelation 27. Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. Okay. So right now, he's not confined. He's not bound up. He's running amok. He's running loose, isn't he? Oh, yes. So all millennia say that the millennium began at the cross and will continue indefinitely until the return of Jesus. So who is correct? The Bible or the amillennialists? So who's the Bible is, isn't it? So now let's look at the current point of view, which many adhere to, and that's called the premillennial viewpoint. A literal reading of end time prophecy seeking the plain sense, meaning, will produce what is called the premillennial viewpoint. Saints, according to this viewpoint, society will disintegrate in the end times, becoming as immoral and violent as the days of Noah. Listen, what I brought to your minds last week, the drive-by shootings, you got to put now a bulletproof vest on your children to go to school. You got to put bulletproof helmets on them. You got to have detectors looking for metal just for their safety. We got same-sex marriage in all 50 states. It's an abomination right now to God. You know, and this is what we need to pray for righteous men to rise up, because it's great. We all want America to be great. We get that. We understand that. And we voted for a man to do that. And I believe he's doing the best as he can. But one thing that is still under the radar, that's still under the carpet, which is not being brought up, and even in the political world, on both sides of the fence, they're all saying that homosexuality is okay. I'm here to let you know it's not. It's an abomination to God. It'll stay an abomination to God. Can I get amen? Amen. But that's not what's being, that group is okay. No, it's not okay. Because in the days of Noah, God had to fire down what? Brimstone for their iniquity. So we're living in this viewpoint where it seems like it's getting darker and darker and darker. But guess what? The light in us is getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Can I get amen? Amen? God's calling us to be the light of the world, to be put on a hill, so that men and women will see what? The works that we're doing for our Father and glorify Him. Not us. We had nothing to do with it other than being called and being faithful to the Lord. Thank you, God. We serve a mighty God. Can I get amen? A wonderful God. So let's believe the Scripture. The Scripture speaks all by itself. Look what it says in 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. How many of you know there's children, and maybe in your sphere of influence, that are disobedient to their parents? Okay, just me. Look at this. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form, I want you to catch that last part, having a form of godliness. You know what that form of godliness is? Well, praise the Lord. God bless you. Man, good to see you. Amen. And go home and still live like the devil. Having a form of godliness, knowing the Christianese language. Praise Him. God bless you. That's what the Bible says. I'm just showing you what the Bible says, that in the last days, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. But when you have God's power in you, guess what? You're going to walk uprightly before Him. Can I get an amen? Amen. He's going to cause you to worship Him, and you will lay aside those weights and sins. He'll bring conviction to your life, and you'll say, man, nah, that offends God. No, 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 no. I'm in love with God. I'm going to stay on God's side. because now he's enlightened us. He's shown us truth. He has shown us the light of the Lord. Amen. So we have no more excuse. We can't walk in darkness. Why? Because light and darkness clash just like oil and vinegar. Shake it up and immediately it separates. And so having a form of godliness but denying its power there from such people, turn away. Some of them will pollute you. Oh, yeah. And Jesus said this. Look what he says here. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until that day that Noah entered into the ark. So look at this as the ark. As the door was shutting, they were still mocking God. And then the raindrops came. Then the water from the ground opened up. Water poured from the heavens. Water came up from the ground. And slowly but surely, the earth was being flooded. And just imagine, all those for 100 years heard Noah saying, repent, get into the ark for safety. Just imagine, on the outside of that ark was probably fingernail scratches, clawing to get in. They weren't laughing then, were they? Well, when Jesus comes back, the Bible says they're going to say, rocks fall on us. Because he's not coming back now as a little baby in the crib. He's coming back to rule and reign. Can I get an amen? Amen. And all those that have persecuted his nations and persecuted his people, he's coming back. And I'd rather be on God's side. How many would rather be on God's side? Oh, yeah, I'd rather be on his side. Oh, Lord, thank you, God, for transforming me. Thank you, God. And look at this. They did not know the flood came until he took them all away. So also will be the Son of Man when he comes. He's going to take the church away. And guess what? Then he's going to bring. See, you know what? Here's the thing. Tribulation is totally different from the wrath of God. Tribulation, God said that the earth will go into a turmoil. Because the Bible's moaning and groaning for the change. But when he gets us out of the way, now he's going to bring the wrath of God. And the Bible says that we're not appointed unto wrath. Can I get an amen? Amen. God didn't save us for wrath. Thank you, God. He saved us, hallelujah, for eternity. To live with him and to rule with him. Thank you, God. Saints, the church will be taken out of the world. And we will be with him. And so some of you are probably, well, show me that in the word. Well, how is he going to take us out of here? Is he going to bring a boat? Is he going to use a space shuttle? Are we going to use those 3D things and just go into AI? Huh? How's he taking us out? Right here in the word. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who are already passed. And their bodies are, their earthly bodies are in the ground. Look at this. Concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. But I'm here to let us know that we do have hope. Can I get an amen? Our hope is in the resurrected Christ. Look at this. Lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus, meaning those who have fallen asleep. Those who have passed on. How many of you had precious loved ones already passed on? Yes. Well, guess what? They're with them. Yeah. All believers are with them. Look at this. For verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord by no means precede those who are asleep. So guess what? Yeah, we got our ticket, but they go first. They go first. And so as we're watching them go up, boom, then we go up right after them. And here's the word right here. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. But it's going to be a big one. Man, the angels, it's going to be, a trumpet is the shofar blast. Look at this. With the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Has this happened yet? It's going to. God's word cannot lie. The Bible says that God is not like a man who can lie. We can lie to each other all day long and get away with it. But God cannot lie to us because he's holy and there's no sin in God. Can I get an amen? So this is our promise. God's going to keep his word. How many believe he's going to keep his word? And then God will pour out his wrath when he takes the church out of the way. This is why our ministry here is get right with God or get left behind. And it's not a political slogan. You know, well, there's the right and the left. No, get your position right with Christ. And then leave the consequences with him. Can I get an amen? Trust him with all your heart, soul, and mind. Leave all the consequences with him. He'll sort it out in your life. No matter how crooked it may look like, he will make things straight in his time. But trust in the Lord, because this is a promise for the church. Now look at this. I got some warning about this wrath that's coming. Not for us. He didn't appoint the wrath for us. Can I get amen? Look at this in Revelation. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. That is Jesus riding on that horse. And on his robe, it's going to say the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can I get amen? Amen. Is he your King and King and Lord of Lords? Amen. Oh, yes, he is. And guess what? We are going to be with him. My goodness, look at this. He's called faithful and true, and in righteousness, he judges and he makes war. Who does he make war with? Not with the church. With the unbelievers, the ones that hate him. The ones that mock him. The ones that crucified him. He's going to remember all of them. Look at this. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had the name written that no one knew except himself. Look at this. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed with fine linen, white and clean, followed him on the horses. Guess what? Who are them following him on the horses? Come on, that's us. Why? Because he has washed you in the blood. That's why when God the Father looks down, he doesn't see your sin no more. You know what he sees? He sees the blood that his son has washed you in. Hallelujah. That's how our sins are taken away. It's by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith. All we did was cry out, oh God, forgive me. I'm a sinner, God. Cleanse me. You know what? A little child can get that. But grown-ups, oh yeah, no. You know, they still walk in unbelief. But for us, we had to humble ourselves like a child. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's right. Wake up, son. It's almost over. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed with fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. See, if you look at it in the Hebrew context, white and clean, that means we've been washed in the blood. And now the Bible says we are as white as snow. Come on. Come on, aren't you so blessed? Man, I'm so blessed. Look at this. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that it should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his high thigh a name written, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Man, aren't you so blessed to be in that number? You know that old New Orleans song, oh, when the saints come marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in. Remember that song? Oh, I wish to be in that number. Well, guess what? He has numbered us to be with him. Can I get an amen? By faith. A great remnant, even of the Jews, will be saved. Did you know that? That's why I'm always praying for Rabbi. You know, Rabbi was in here earlier. I said, yeah, Rabbi, I understand. Yeah, I know. I'm praying for that man. Huh? Because they need Jesus too. Can I get an amen? Hey, we're here supernaturally. God opened this door so we could be a light for them. The Bible says that we are the children going back to the fathers and showing them the new heart that God promised them. So the children are coming back and showing the new heart. See, they're still in the Torah. They're still in the Old Testament. They don't understand the New Testament says that Christ has come to even save them. So we're a light before them. And by the way, he downloads all my messages and he listens to them. So, you know what? Brother, he might be a closet Christian. I don't know. I don't know. He may be. I don't know. He's not refuting anything. He's probably putting his study together. I don't know. But look what happens as we close. Look at this. Zechariah 12:10. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me, whom they have pierced. So this is why I'm praying. See, they're praying for the Messiah to come. And they believe he's only going to come once. He's already come. He went away. He's coming back again.
Come on.
And so guess what? They're going to see the nail printed hands and the feet. That they're the ones that said crucify them. And there's going to be a remnant of, they're going to fall on their face. And they're going to acknowledge through their mouth that Yeshua is the Messiah. Come on, somebody got to give God a praise. Then they will look on me whom they have pierced. They will mourn for him as one who mourns for his only son. And grieve for him as one who grieves for a firstborn. Isn't that something? Look what Romans says. Romans says this. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved. He knows who they are. And we're praying, oh, Rabbi, in all your synagogue, I hope you're part of that group. All we can do is pray for them. Can I get an amen? Pray, be the light before them. Love them. Show them the love. Listen, we've been here many years, so we just got to love them. And hopefully they get it. They'll get it. They'll get it. Hallelujah. Look what Romans says here. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentile. The Gentile, God's pouring out on the Gentile. There's Jews getting saved, but he's pouring it out on us. Aren't you so blessed that God had mercy on us? Listen, now we're grafted in by faith, and we have the same blessings of Abraham. We have the same inheritance. How many just are so thankful that we had the same inheritance that Abraham has? Wow! Look at this. Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion. He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. He's going to take away their sins too. Isn't that something? And guess what? Before we close, it goes all the way to Deuteronomy. Now it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to that I command you today, and you and your children with all your heart, with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. So here's the prophetic thing that we're seeing. They're coming from Russia. They're coming from Africa. They're coming from Poland. They're coming from all over the world. The Jews are coming back to the land. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed? So in closing, saints, in closing, how many believe that God is coming back soon? Listen, last week we saw the evidence, right? That's just in our nation. let alone what's going on around the world. And God is coming back. And when he comes back, he's taking us with him. How many believe that you are going to be with him? Amen. Amen. And so I close this in Revelation and we'll pray. Let me go here. Right here to Revelation. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness to Jesus and for the word of God. There are thousands that have been beheaded in the Middle East. I don't want to put no photos up here, but I found some gruesome beheadings. They do them in Iraq. They do them in Syria. They do them in Iran. They do it in Afghanistan. They do it in Turkey. Because they hate Christians. They hate them with a passion. Look at this. Who had been headed for the witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received the mark on their foreheads or their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for what? There's the millennial reign. 1,000 years. And guess what? We're in that number too. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed? Look at this. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So we are in that first resurrection. But the second one is the most hideous one. And we're not part of that group. Can I get amen? Look at this. Blessed, look at this. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and he shall reign with them 1,000 years. That's us. That's our promise to us. That's our promise. So when he comes back again, we just read, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up, and we'll be with them for 1,000 years. How many can't wait for that to happen? Come on. But look at this. Oh, well, the rest of it I missed. But the rest of it says, the second resurrection are those who died without Christ. And they're going to stand before him on the white throne judgment. And they're going to be cast in the lake of fire where the worm dieth not. And there'll be fire and brimstone forever and forever and forever. And how long is forever? But God has given you and I wonderful fire insurance. We got some wonderful fire insurance, don't we? Hallelujah. And that is the blood of the Lamb. You're talking about an asbestos suit. Man, I don't care, man. We can go through the fire and not being burnt. Can I get amen? We are covered in the blood. We are his child. We are forever heaven bound. Hallelujah. A hell to shun. And God is going to pour out grace and mercy on his church. Listen, there's some wonderful churches throughout our land that speak the truth. But the majority are asleep at the wheel. Wake up. You know what? I'm saying, God, wake them up. Wake up the church. Wake up the church, God. Wake up the church. Yes. Amen? Amen? Don't condemn them. Just pray for them. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Yes. Brother Hidalgo, who was here last week, his family that came down by the grace of God from Bakersfield, they came back that evening because they left the bag behind, and we were doing Sister Yvonne's nephew's celebration of life service. And those guys were so stirred up. They posted that message from last week all over the place. And they said, man, he goes, how come we don't hear this in churches? That's what he told me. He goes, we don't hear this because it's politically, what? Incorrect. I don't care. They can take away our 501c. I don't care. Listen, God's holding me accountable to speak truth. Can I get amen? Amen. And listen, it's not just speaking truth. It's liberating us to walk in truth. And so when we walk in truth, you know what? God will then truly give us the blessings that we need. Hallelujah. Not the greed that we need. He just blesses our needs. Can I get amen? And he will get all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. So just be steadfast, amen? But I'm praying for someone that maybe doesn't know Christ. Maybe you're here today or listening on the internet that's never, never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we always give an invitation here. And guess what? It's free of charge, amen? Man, aren't you so blessed that salvation is free? That we don't have to beg, borrow, and steal. We don't have to negotiate. Well, you know what? I need you to take a 100-page test. Let me see if you pass. No, it don't work that way. God came to rescue us from our sin, didn't he? And how many are so blessed to know that he came for you? He came for me. Oh, come on. Some of you have testimonies that will blow an unbeliever away. You're kidding me. Really? Yes, that's right. Really? That's right. God's not a respecter of person. He'll go down to the guttermost to put you up on the uttermost. That's right. He'll do a wonderful work in your life. And so let me pray for you as we dismiss. And I thank and praise God. Last week's word was like, I told you, a word I showed, that there's a famine in the church. And when you hear messages like that, sometimes it's just too offensive for people, and they won't come back. But if you want and love the truth, but Jesus said the truth shall, what, make you free. And so I want to pray for those right now that are going through first. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I know, Lord, there's turbulent times right now. There's marriages that are distraught. There's relationships that need to be restored. Lord, there's addictions in people's lives that need to be destroyed. Lord, I pray, God, for those who are bound up in drugs and alcohol, the secret pornographers, those who have just secret sins that God only sees. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that before he pulls the cover, that you would just surrender it to him so he'll keep it hush. He won't expose you. He's a gracious God. But he's looking for transparency in your life. He's looking for you to just surrender it. And then he goes, all right, I'll get right with you now because you got right with me. And so, God, I pray, Lord, for those who are struggling, those who truly are in bondage and they need to be set free. I pray for those right now, God. I'm praying for those who thirst and hunger after righteousness, that you would continue to fill them with more wisdom, more understanding of your word. I pray, God, that you will work mightily in their hearts and minds for those, God, who are truly seeking you. But I'm also praying right now for the lost. Maybe you stumbled onto this message. Maybe someone said, hey, go to the website, or here's a CD, here, listen. Maybe you have family members that you truly love. They need to be set free by the power of God, by the anointing of God, that every yoke can be destroyed by God's spoken word. Lord, I'm praying, God, that you would all give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. And for those that are lost right now, come to faith in Christ through his grace. Pray this prayer, simple prayer. It's not a magical formula. It's not a magical prayer. Matter of fact, the word magic's not even in the Word of God. It's walking in faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here or listening abroad, we'll pray this prayer with you just to help and guide you. But God has to do it all by himself with you. So pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give him praise and glory in the house. Is he worthy? Come on, is he worthy? Come on, Jesus is worthy, isn't he?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.